Thank you. And will you turn in your Bibles now to Isaiah chapter 12? Chapter 12 is the end of the first section of Isaiah. Isaiah chapters 1 to 12. It's significant that this section, which has concerned itself primarily with the nation of Judah, that this section ends with a great song of salvation. The next section is chapters 13 through 23. That section has to do with God and the nations that surrounded that little nation of Judah and Israel many years ago, even as today Israel is surrounded by nations in the Near East. So the first section has to do with Judah. It ends with a song of praise and worship. And the second section begins chapters 13 to 23 and will be entirely different in its character, as we will note. Chapter 12. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Sing aloud, shout aloud, and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Father, we just praise you for this anthem of praise that we've been reading from your word. We just pray that with the joy of the Lord in our hearts, we may sing to your praise and glory this morning. We thank you for salvation. We thank you that you have become our strength and you have become our song, and that we with joy draw waters from the well of salvation, ever refreshed and filled with joy that you and you only can give to us in the midst of the distressing circumstances of life. Now bless this time together, we pray, as we ask in our Savior's precious name. Amen. The mode of our service this morning is somewhat different than usual. We're not only going to be looking at and understanding what is being said in the Word of God as it applied to the ancient people of Israel, as they would anticipate the joy of God's salvation, but we ourselves will enter into that this morning and join together in singing the joy of our salvation in the Lord. Now this is going to be quite a contrast to next week. I can't think of any two contrastive Sundays any more than this Sunday and next Sunday, if God spares us in His grace and mercy. Next Sunday, as I say, we'll be entering into an entirely new section of this book. We'll be thinking of the historical incident that had to do with the nation of Israel many years ago, as enemy nations sought to destroy that nation that God had called into being. But from that historical past, next week we're going to learn lessons for this day and age in which we are living. But next week is going to be rather somber. This week is going to be joyous and joyful. Well, that's all part of the Word of God. It's part of the prophecy of Isaiah. Notes of somberness and notes of joy and exaltation. And that's the way it is, too, in our lives day by day. If you picked up an outline sheet, you'll notice in the first three verses of this prophecy of chapter 12 that we have a note of praise. I will praise you, O Lord, the prophet says. And then in verses 4 and 5, we have the call to proclamation. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. And then the little chapter ends with a pronouncement, encouraging and challenging the people of God, shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. So first of all, a note of praise. Praise for God's mercy. Notice he says, I will praise you, O Lord, although you are angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me, and so on. They were anticipating the mercy of God. Now notice the phrase, in that day, verse 1, and again in verse 4, in that day. The day that is being referred to is a day that is still future to us this morning. It is the day in which God will deliver his people, the nation of Israel, in a day which is yet to come, a day when they will be beleaguered and the nations of the world will seemingly be ready to destroy the Israeli nation, and then the Lord himself will appear and will deliver that nation at the climactic moment. You remember in chapter 11, it spoke of that day. Notice verse 10 of chapter 11. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples and so on. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand and reclaim the remnant of the people of Israel. It will be a day that is yet to come when, as I've indicated, out of a great time of tribulation for the nation of Israel and a great time of trauma for this world, God will deliver his ancient people, Israel. He will save them, literally and actually, a deliverance of the Lord to deliver this people when they are about to be destroyed. That is the background. And it is in that day that they will especially sing this song of praise and thanksgiving because God has shown them mercy. Out of the tribulation period, the time of distress, they are convicted of their sin and they repent of their sin of rejecting Jesus as Messiah. And they turn in faith to him. The Bible says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And so through times of trial, through times of tribulation, through times of distress, through difficult times in our lives, we come to faith in God and we realize God is our Savior and we praise him because of his deliverance of us. We today experience that in a personal way when we realize that we are indeed sinners in the sight of a holy God. And we repent of our sin. We come to God and we say, oh God, I have sinned and I now accept your salvation and your mercy and your grace. And I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord and I praise you for him. Think of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 as recorded in the New Testament. And he was one who was careless and indifferent in respect to God. And he was one who experienced no personal knowledge and relationship to God, probably a Roman idol worshiper. But remember how that God shook the prison that night and wakened that man up, and he came out and he fell down before Paul and Silas, the missionaries of the Lord, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy household as well. And so this man, in that tribulation time for him personally, repented of his sin and placed his faith and trust in Jesus, and that night he too began to sing salvation's song. Let us sing this morning of the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. And I trust that each one of us here has experienced God's mercy in our lives. Each one of us has known what it is to come to a time of repentance and to accept God's grace and mercy personally. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Praise the Lord, not only for his mercy, but for his salvation. And his salvation came to them because they were now trusting in the Lord. Notice in verse 2, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. They were living in a day when Ahaz the king and the majority of the leadership of the nation were trembling in fear. But a remnant of that people said, responding to the prophecy of Isaiah, I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. I wonder if you are trusting in the Lord this morning. There are many things to make us afraid. There are many things that cause anxiety in life. But I know of no little phrase in the Bible that has been any more help to me growing up. As I learned this phrase as a child, I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. What a wonderful phrase. Put it away in your heart. Put it away in your mind. No matter what difficulties, whether they are economic difficulties, financial difficulties, whether they are family difficulties, whether they are difficulties of personal nature, whatever they may be, whatever causes you fear and anxiety, I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. And because he is trusting in the Lord, because Israel is trusting in the Lord now, they can say, the Lord is my strength and my song. They find comfort and they find confidence. Notice they find comfort. In your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Notice they find confidence. I will trust and not be afraid. Interestingly, this phrase here found in verse 2, and I want you to notice it. It says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. We find it three times in the scripture. The first time you find it is Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 is when the children of Israel, the same people, have come out from Egypt, and the Pharaoh of Egypt is pursuing them with his military might, and they come to the Red Sea, and God miraculously opens the Red Sea, and they go through the Red Sea on dry land, and God causes the waters to come back, and the military might of Egypt is destroyed, and they sing together, the Lord is my strength and my song, he has become my salvation. So in the first time of national deliverance, the first occasion of national salvation, the people sing this song because they're trusting in the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Now this particular passage that we're looking at this morning, of course, looks to the last time the nation will sing that song. The first time they sang it when they were delivered from Pharaoh coming out of Egypt. And this passage, as I've already indicated, looks onward to the future when they will be delivered from the tribulation period and brought in to the great earthly reign of Christ. I will trust the Lord. He is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The other passage is found in Psalm 118 and in verse 14. And that can be very precious and real for you. It was for me. I want to tell you that the very night that I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ in a personal way for salvation, I was in the little town of Tyler, Texas. I came back to the barracks where I was in the military, and I opened the Bible, and I opened it just by God's providence to the middle of the Bible, to Psalm 118, and my eyes looked down the page, and I found these very words that are before us this morning. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Comfort and confidence. Are you comforted this morning, or are you troubled? Are you afraid, or do you have peace? Has the Lord become your salvation? He may become your salvation today as you turn from all else and place your trust in him and know the blessing and comfort and confidence that only he can give. Notice not only so, but it mentions that he is also my strength. He has become my strength. Now Israel was looking for their strength to the Gentile nations that surround them. Many times we look to other resources, either personally or human resources round about us as our strength in difficult times. But Israel was now finding their strength in the Lord. On whom do you rely? Who is your strength? Can you sing this song. Notice finally, in verse 3, God has become their joy. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. We draw refreshment and joy from the living water that Jesus himself gives to us, the Holy Spirit of God. You remember in John chapter 4, there was a woman who came to the well, and Jesus was there, and he spoke to her of living water, water whereby she would never thirst again. And he said to her, I will give you that living water. And she wanted that water that would give her eternal and ongoing refreshment. And Jesus was speaking of the Holy Spirit whom he gives to those who place their faith and trust in him. In John chapter 7, on the last day of the great Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. My friend, if you want satisfaction, if you want fulfillment, if you want reality, if you want joy, you'll find it only in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is the joy giver. I was at a wedding just yesterday. And you know, the punch bowl was one of those punch bowls where it's like a fountain and it flows down off the top. And when I got to the punch bowl and put my cup there, you know what happened? It ran out of punch. Yes, indeed. But do you want to know this? God never runs out of joy. He never runs out of refreshment. You'll always find contentment and joy in him. Who are you looking to? What are you looking to find fulfillment and joy in your life? These people are rejoicing. They say, the Lord is my strength. He is my song. He is my joy. He has become my salvation. Let's sing about it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Writer wrote many years ago, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Now in verses 4 and 5, we have a proclamation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Who is to do this? In verse 4, in that day you will say. Now there's something interesting here. In verse 1, in that day you will say. But in verse 1 it's in the singular. In verse 1, you as an individual will say. You who have personally experienced the salvation of the Lord, you will sing. You will rejoice. Coming down to verse 4, it's in the plural. In that day, you, all of you will say. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. When God has redeemed his ancient people and through that people, many people from all nations and tribes of the earth, a great ingathering, greater than during this age of grace. I said it. Greater than during this age of grace, a great ingathering. And they will sing praises unto the Lord. It is you who have experienced God's salvation who are to proclaim the glory of the Lord among the nations of the world. To whom are we to proclaim it? I just indicated. Notice verse 4. It says you are to make known among the nations what he has done. Notice verse 5. Let this be known to all the world. And so the scripture indicates that those of us who have come to know the blessing of the Lord through Jesus Christ are to share that good news. God says you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And to you and to me, he says today, you will be my witnesses in Groton, in Ledyard, in Waterford, and on in Connecticut, and through the United States, and to the ends of the world, so to speak. It is through the people of God that we are to proclaim the worth and the glory of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And a hymn writer of recent day has said, get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. You don't look excited. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. You talk about people. You talk about things that really aren't important at all. You talk about weather. You talk about problems we have here at home and abroad. But friend, I'm excited about a solution for the world. I'm going to shout and sing, Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. It's you, and it's to all the world. And of what do we sing? We sing of the fact that God has done it. What has God done? Notice verse 3. It says, make known among the nations what he has done. Well, in the ancient days for this people, it was the fact that he had delivered them at the Red Sea. I've already spoken about that. And you know, as the news of what God had done in delivering his people at the Red Sea spread throughout that world, we find that God was able to deliver his people as they went into the land of Canaan. Even the harlot Rahab said, we've heard about what God has done. And they were trembling and fearful. Has our world heard about what God has done? We not only speak of what God has done in delivering his ancient people Israel, but we speak of what God has done in providing salvation, eternal salvation and deliverance from sin, deliverance from the power of Satan, victory over death itself. We have a great message to speak of what God has done in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Not only that he has done this work to accomplish salvation, but that he is exalted to God's right hand. But let's sing about what he's done. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. And as we speak of him as the Lamb, we are speaking of his death upon the cross where he shed his precious blood that we might have salvation. What has God done? He has given his Son to die for our sins upon the cross. My friend, the work is done. Through Jesus Christ, God invites you to come to him that your sins might be forgiven, that he might welcome you into his family. There's good news, and we, God's people, have experienced it ourselves. We declare to you what God has done, not what you have to do, not to clean up your act, not to try and get religious, not to be sincere and turn over a new leaf, but we declare to you that God has, through Jesus Christ, finished the work and there's salvation available through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is exalted. After his death upon the cross and his 3 days in that tomb, Jesus Christ arose from the grave. He ascended to heaven 40 days later, and Jesus Christ today is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is higher than any other. Let's sing about it.
Oh,
is it who is to proclaim? It is you and me who have come to know him. To whom? To all the nations. To the people in your family, to the people in your neighborhood, to the people in your town, to the people in your nation, to the people to the ends of the earth. Of what are we to proclaim? Of what God has done? That he is exalted. How are we to do this? Notice the expressions that suggest this to us. If you will, first of all, in verse 4, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Notice again, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Notice verse 5, let this be known in all the world. I suggest that those words, to me at least, suggest to me that we are to do this responsibly. We are to do this intelligently. We are to do this diligently. It is a commitment that is laid upon us. We need to think and pray and strategize and plan and make ourselves available to God so that in an intelligent, responsible, and diligent way, his name can be made known to the ends of the earth. Let's sing about how majestic his name is as we proclaim it to the earth. Not only to do this responsibly, intelligently, and diligently, as suggested by the words, make known, proclaim, let this be known, but we're also to do it enthusiastically, worshipfully, experientially, having known this ourselves, suggested by the words in verse 5, sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. How wonderful it is to be able to share this good news with others of our fellow men in the world today. And now the whole chapter ends with a pronouncement, a summation, if you will, in verse 6. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel amongst you. We are to rejoice in the Lord, suggested by the words, shout aloud and sing for joy. Do you have that kind of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that from your heart, your inner being, throughout your daily pattern of life, this is what is happening? You are sharing the Lord because you personally rejoice in him. Let the people rejoice and sing praises. Let's stand together. Let the in the Lord, shout aloud and sing for joy, because God is great, for great, magnificent, wonderful, great is the Holy One of Israel. Are you learning how great your God is? Are you enjoying the majesty and glory of His person? Majesty. Let's sing about it. In the Lord, shout and sing aloud for joy, because He is great and because He is gracious. Notice what it says, you are the people of Zion, the people of God, those who are intimately related to the great and majestic and glorious God of this universe. That's grace, my friends. That's grace. God's grace through Jesus Christ, which has reached down and saved us from our sins and brought us into the family of God. For great is the Holy One of Israel, catch it, among you. He is the Emmanuel. He is among you. He, the glorious God of this universe, dwells within you. Great, and yet loving, gracious, merciful, and kind. That God is my God. He has become my salvation. He is my strength. He is my song. I rejoice in Him. And I want you and others to know about Him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonderful name, speaking of His grace to us. Oh, what wondrous grace that links that lovely name with mine. Sing it. This song to sing? Is it that which bubbles up from your heart day by day? If so, you're blessed this morning, blessed by the God of this universe. You have responded to His revelation of Himself. You've understood your sinfulness. You've understood His provision of salvation through Jesus. You've come and embraced Him. You're trusting. You're not afraid. You're comforted in the Lord. This morning you have a song to sing, and oh, don't just sing it here. Go out and sing it. EB needs to hear that song. I hear all the time of the bad things going on, the grumbling and complaining and the brokenness. The Navy needs to hear that song. Our community needs to hear that song. Rejoice in the Lord. Let the salvation of the Lord that you enjoy move through your lives to other people. And come tonight. And come every Sunday night. Come any Sunday night, because at 6 p.m. as we gather, We just gather to do what we've done this morning, to rejoice in the Lord, to praise Him, to worship Him, to remember Him. He is a great God. He is a gracious God. When we have experienced His salvation, we just rejoice in times like this to together celebrate the greatness and the goodness of God.